We're Mike and Kelsey Dominey, and we love helping people take their next best steps with God. That takes saying yes, and that's scary.
Hey, we've been there. Hey, we're still there, figuring out how we can all say yes to that thing God has put in our hearts to do.
So on this podcast, we talk about knowing God.
Even when it's hard to hear him.
Trusting what he says.
Even when it's scary.
And actually taking steps to do something.
Even when it doesn't make sense.
Let's talk about your next best yes.
Several years ago, our family had an opportunity to go on a whale watching tour. We live in New England and, of course, off the coast of Massachusetts in what ocean is that? The Atlantic?
Yes.
There's excellent opportunities to see massive sea creatures, these giants of the ocean.
It's right on the migration route, right?
Yeah.
So like I think we went in the fall. So that was the time where they were leaving the northern waters, headed south, which is a good call.
Just these massive, massive animals. And so we were able to go on this whale watching trip. And on the East Coast, at least, there's not a law keeping boats away from the animals, so the boats can get really close. So you can get really close if you go whale watching off the coast of Massachusetts. And so we remember being on this boat, and we took our daughter, and she was, I don't know, like 8 at the time, maybe. And for the longest time, we weren't seeing anything. There was nothing in the water. And it was freezing cold, and we didn't pack enough snacks. And if you've ever been on a long trip and where you have a young child who is cold and hungry, you can imagine how much fun we were having. And so we were pretty miserable just waiting for the boat ride to be over. And then the voice came over the intercom. So there's the captain of the boat who's just physically driving the boat. There's also someone up in like the crow's nest of the boat who's keeping an eye on the water, who can spot the whales from a distance. They know what signals to look for. They know what kind of whales are out here. They can just spot it. And so they tell the entire boat, hey, it looks like we're going to see a fin whale, or we're going to see a humpback whale, or we've got a humpback and a baby up here. And so the voice comes over the intercom, right? And says, guys, this is a treat. I have not seen one of these animals, and I am so excited. This marine biologist is losing their ever-loving mind about the fact that we're about to see, it was a fin whale,
A fin whale. The second largest whale in the world, second to the blue whale.
Yeah. So there's a fin whale that the boat has found, and we're going to see this fin whale. And so the voice says, it's on the starboard side. I don't know. I'm using boat words that I'm pulling out of my memory, but I think that sounds correct.
Yeah, that's the right side of the boat.
Okay, so it's on the starboard side. So you can feel the movement of all the people on this boat just like rushing to the starboard side to try to get a glimpse of this gigantic whale. And of course, everybody's at the railing, so you can't really see a lot. And little known to us, the captain was moving the boat so that first, the fin whale would be seen on the starboard side, but he was going to reposition the boat so the fin whale would be seen from, what's the other side?
Port
side. Good job. But we didn't know that, so we're running to starboard side. We don't see anything. And then the voice comes along and says, the captain's repositioning the boat. You can now see the fin whale from the port side. So we run back to the port side just in time to see like the bubbles left over from the dive that this giant whale just took. And this happened multiple times where we're like running from port to starboard, right to left, left to right. And we're just picking up our young child and hauling her across the boat and just trying to get some glimpse of this majestic whale. We just kept following where the voice said it was gonna show up. And we learned, though, that eventually we realized if we just stay in one place, everybody else is gonna run to starboard when the voice says starboard side. But if we just stay on the port side, we know the captain's actually gonna reposition the boat. So if we just stay here, we're gonna see it and we're gonna have a front row seat because we're already at the railing. And then we ended up seeing this whale a couple times. Like, this whale was, like, really up at the surface. So we had a lot of time on this trip to interact with this fin whale. And it was awesome. It was fantastic. But we only saw what we were there to see by staying put.
Well, this has been Whale Watchers Podcast, where we just share stories about our whale watching experiences with no takeaways and applications to anything else. Join us next time.
Well, obviously, there's a point.
Yes.
How often are we pursuing our kingdom work, trying to follow God? And it's so tempting to just run after every single promise of something new that we hear from some other voice, where we're just someone saying, look over here, God's moving over here. And so we run after it, or God's moving over here. So we run after it. And we end up doing these zigzags back and forth in our life, just trying to find where God is going to show up.
God's moving in someone's life this way. God may even be moving in your life a certain way, and you're trying to find that again. It's like, oh yeah, well, let me just follow the God sightings.
And yet, just like the captain of the boat was positioning us to be able to experience what we were there to experience, God is positioning us to experience what he wants us to experience in life. We don't have to go chasing him down. Sometimes we actually just need to stay right where we are and trust that he is positioning our life to experience him in the way he is intending for us to experience him. We don't have to chase down other people's experiences. We don't have to chase down other people's, how they've seen God show up, how they've done it before. We really can rest and know that God's showing up for us. And if we are still and know that he is God and we wait on the Lord, we will see his move in our life.
Even when it comes to the promises that he's made, even when it comes to the vision that he's put in our heart, and we really have all of the right, I suppose, to pursue that, if God is not moving, let's not move. We spend all this time kind of chasing where God was or looking for where he might go, instead of staying here, right where he is, letting him do the repositioning, and we just stay with him, then we're not going to end up going in some direction where he is not actually going, even if we think that it's going in the right direction. We've been reading the Old Testament quite a bit, especially Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Not easy reads, but good insights into the wilderness season of God's people's life. Last episode, we talked about how just it takes forever sometimes. It just feels like it's taking so long to get to where we need to be. And I was struck by Exodus 33, verses 1 through 17. This is, for context's sake, after the time that the Israelites made this golden calf, when Moses was talking with God on the mountain for like 40 days. And they were like, oh, Moses left us, God's abandoned us, I guess we need a God to lead us forward, which is in and of itself, like, well, what are the other people doing? What successes are we seeing elsewhere? We can make a God and they'll bring us forward. God was on the mountain. Like, God wasn't going anywhere, so let's not go anywhere. Anyway, that happened, so they built this false God. Like, this is the God that brought us out of Egypt. Anyway,
God was not happy about it.
Not happy about that. And not a little bit. It was real bad. Like, he was threatening, he's like, Moses, I will wipe them all out and start a new nation with you. And kind of a test, kind of just to see where Moses' heart was. And Moses was like, no, don't do that. But God, for real, was like putting on the pressure. And he was saying in Exodus 33, verse 1, leave this place, you and the people who you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land that I promise on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I'll give it to your descendants. And then he says, verse 2, like, I'll send out an angel. I'll clear out all the land for you. You can go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I'm not going to go with you because you are so stubborn. These people are so insufferable, I might just wipe them out on the way. Like,
so God's like, yeah, go ahead. You fine. Go, but I'm you not going to go. I'm not going.
Which honestly, it sounds like, what, is he being petty? Is he being, like, what is this? First of all, I think it's a valid offer. I think it's like, because if God said this, then he's willing to do it. Mm-hmm. So he's willing to say, you go, I will send out an angel, destroy the nations, you can go live in the land. I'm just not going to go with you, because if the state of your heart is such, so selfish and so stubborn and so rebellious right now, that my patience, while long, will not last the trip. I will wipe you out if you don't change. So, but I promised to give you the land. You can go into the land and do it without me. And that is quite the offer. The offer of, like, what if the visions, the dreams, the promised land, the everything you ever hoped for, what if God allows you to go have it and have everything you wanted? But he's not going to go with you. What would you do? That's kind of a tough question. Especially when it's like, well, he promised to give that to us. Yeah, he did. But what do you want more? What he promised or him? Hmm. What do you want more? And so Moses says, you told me to lead these people. You didn't say who you would send with me. And you said to me, I know you very well, and I'm pleased with you. Moses is saying to God, like, God, we're friends. Like, I can't even believe that you've called me a friend, but you've called me your friend. And you said, like, I know you and you know me. And you said that you're pleased with me. So if I've really pleased you, says in verse 13, if I've really pleased you, then teach me your ways. I want to know you. And then I can continue to please you. Just remember that these people are your nation. And God said, I myself will go with you. I'll lead you. And Moses says, if you don't go with us, then don't make us leave this place. Also, how will we know if you're pleased with me and these people? If you go with us, we'll know for sure. And if you don't go with us, these people and I will be no different from any other people on earth. And the Lord said to Moses, I'll do what you ask. I'll do this because I am pleased with you and because I know you very well. Moses makes this plea that, may this be the plea of our hearts, where it's like, all right, if you go with us, then we'll know that your favor is with us. If you don't go with us, then how are we like anybody else who's just going about in trying to chase their dreams, chase their goals, and accomplish all these things without you? Because people find a lot of success and chase their dreams and achieve them without God. And it's like, how is that any different than someone who says, God, you are my God and we'll be your people, but go without him? Moses' heart is like in verse 13, if I've really pleased you, then teach me your ways. I want to know you, and then I can continue to please you. Wouldn't we have prayed a prayer like that? My God, if you're pleased with me at all, then teach me your ways. I want to know you and I want to continue to please you. That's the only way that we can know God and continue to please him, is if he teaches us his ways. We can't do that on our own.
Yeah. It reminds me of a song by Chris Renzema, is how you pronounce his last name.
Yep. I think he was inspired by this story.
Yeah, the song is titled, I Don't Want to Go, and the chorus is simply, I don't want to go if you're not going before me. I don't want to go if you're not going before me. I don't want to go if you're not going before me. I don't want to go if you're not going before me. And that song just rings so true, and I believe you're right. I think he was inspired by this story, but it really is such a compelling question of, if God would give you everything he's promised you, but he's not going with you, would you go take it, or would you want to stay? Would you plead with God to stay and not send you ahead of him without him? And so there's these times where we don't want to move on because God's not going. And so our heart ought to want to stay where he is, even if it postpones for a little while the dream, even if it pushes out a little while that thing that we feel like he's promised us, even if it postpones that, we don't want to move forward from where he is if he's not going with us. There's also times, though, where he's moving forward and we don't want to go. We want to stay where we are, right? So we've experienced both of these things in our lives.
Even well-meaning. It's not like, oh, I don't want to go where God's going. It really is just like, but we've had such a great time here.
Yeah.
Like, I think of Peter on the mount where Jesus was transfigured, and here's Moses again and Elijah, mm-hmm. and they're all like glowing and like, whoa, this is crazy. It's like a glimpse of
and
heaven.
Peter's like, let's set up some tents. Let's like hang out for a while.
Why move from here? Like,
why go do anything else? Well, because God's not going to stay there forever. He's got other plans for you and he's taking you somewhere else. And so you might have experienced something really beautiful. You might have experienced, we've had this before. We had a beautiful, really amazing church family when we lived in Birmingham, Alabama. And I thought we would die there. Like, I didn't want to leave there ever. But if you've listened to this podcast, you know that right now we're living up in New England. We're in New Hampshire. And so how did we get from where I never wanted to leave? And I was convinced God brought us there. I know God brought us there. And it was this incredible family, this incredible church. I didn't want to leave it. But, and I'm not saying God left that church, but for our lives, the direction he was pulling us was to leave that church. But I didn't want to at the time. Because it was such a beautiful community. It was such a beautiful time. And I saw God do so much in us and in our family and in the community. I didn't want to leave. But if God was no longer there with us, we needed to move on. We needed to take the next steps. We needed to say the next yes to him to continue moving with him in the direction our lives were going. Again, not saying he left that church, but the way he was directing us and our lives was no longer to stay in that community.
We see that come up in the life of Moses and Israel again, where in Deuteronomy chapter 1, kind of recounting the story of what God has led them through, Moses was basically saying, hey, remember this time? The Lord our God said to us out at Horeb, which as far as we can tell is another name for Mount Sinai, where God gave them the law, where they stayed for months and months. It was a nice break from the wandering in the wilderness. They had water. They had protection. God just settled on that mountain. You saw daily the signs of his presence with like pillar of fire and a cloud just covering the mountain. And God spoke to them and Moses got words from God and shared it with them. And they had a tent of meeting where they could go and meet with God. Like an amazing time to just develop this relationship. Remember, this is part of the long way around. This was part of the not going directly to the promised land. I would just want to spend some time with you and build this relationship. And Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb was a major piece of that relationship building. But then,
interesting enough, Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai was also where Moses heard from God at the burning bush too. And before they were in the wilderness, before he led the people out of Israel, that's where he heard from God from the burning bush, lead my people out of Israel. And God said, the sign that will prove to you that right now is really happening and I really am God is that you will come with my people and worship me on this mountain. And so not only had they established themselves on this mountain was representative of a promise from before of God saying, you will know that I am who I say I am because when you come and worship me again on this mountain. And they were there. They were living the fulfillment of that promise.
And I'm sure that wasn't lost on Moses as God told them to stop here and rest a while at the mountain. And it had to have come back to Moses's mind of like, yep, this is what God said would happen. Like, he didn't give me the signs necessarily that all this is true beforehand. The sign was, later you'll know. I will confirm. Because I'll bring you right back here. You'll worship here. And here, now here he was. When earlier he had thousands of sheep. Now he had millions of God's people worshiping sheeples. And it's like, wow, yep, God said this would happen. This is where we'd be. And wow, this is good. It's good to be here. I know we're not in the promised land yet, but we're with God, and this is good. And so then, after a while, the Lord our God said to us at Horeb, now you've stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. See, I've given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land the Lord swore he would give you to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants after them. It's kind of bittersweet. Mm-hmm. You know, you've been at this mountain long enough. Time to break camp and move on. And God gives us similar commands, where there may be a great church experience. There might be a great small group maybe you're involved in at church. It might be a really good job that, you know, good people, good provision, nice consistency and a paycheck.
Might be a good neighborhood or good friendships that you're a part of, a home that you really love that you know God gave you and you've seen his work in that home. It could be these great and beautiful things, these places, these relationships, these circumstances.
Where you see God working, you hear from him, you've got this just really close relationship with him, and you just see, oh man, he's working and providing in so many awesome ways. And that's great. Like good, stay there. As long as his favor is there, as long as his presence is there, stay there. But if God says, you know what, we've stayed here long enough, we're going to move on now. As much as you want to stay, it was like, oh, but this was so, it's like summer camp, you know, it's like, oh, but it was so good. Summer camp was so good. Made so many friends. If God's not staying there, then that's the last place you're going to want to be. Mm-hmm. Move on with him. I know it's the wilderness ahead. I know there's unknowns ahead. I know there's opposition ahead, but he's going with you. And so We've seen here a couple times in the life of Moses and God's people, Israel, where God says, all right, you can move, but I'm not going to go with you. Do you want to move? And our response has to be like Moses that says, look, if you're not going, why would we go? Like, then we're just like anybody else chasing their dreams, doing things without you. But I want to know you. Like, if I've really pleased you, then teach me your ways. I want to know you, and then I can continue to please you. If you're not going, I'm going to stay right here. If you're staying here, I'm going to stay here. Even if I never see the fulfillment of this dream, of this vision, then as long as I'm with you, then I know that's where I need to be.
And then there are other times where no matter how good it's been, no matter how sweet and precious and intimate your relationship with him has been in a certain circumstance or place or relationship, when God says it's time to move, we have to be willing to go with him anyway. We have to be willing to change things up, to go into the unknown, to wander into the wilderness, even though it's going to be less comfortable, scarier, we don't know what's coming. But if that's where God's going, like, we have to be willing to go follow him anyway. We have to be willing to say, yes, God, I'm with you. Whether you stay or whether you go, I'm with you. I'm not with the circumstance. I'm not with this plan. I'm not with this project. I'm with you. And so if you say keep going with this, I'm going to keep going. And if you say stop, I'm going to stop.
So where are you right now? Are you?
Because sometimes I feel like we get really committed to what we think God is doing and we forget about being committed to God.
Oh, 100%.
Like, we get really committed to, well, I see God working in this church, or I see God working through my business, or I see God really developing this relationship, right? I see what God's doing, and I want to be where God's doing stuff. Like, I want to be where God's working. And I've heard people say that. I've said that before.
Sure.
But the threat of that is we can lose sight of being with God. Like, if we're so focused on what he's doing, we lose focus of who he, of him, and just being with him and learning to know him and being in relationship with him. And so he will stop doing things or he will move on. And if we're more committed to the doing, then we're going to stay and we're going to keep doing, or we're going to chase the next thing to do. Like, one of those two things can happen, and God may not be there anymore. And so we just have to be really careful to not be pursuing what God's doing, but be pursuing God and who he is and being with him.
Absolutely. So this is a perfectly good opportunity to stop and think, okay, where am I and where's God? Am I wanting to move forward when God is saying, I'm going to stay right here? You can go forward without me. I might even grant you success, but I'm not going to go and be a part of that. Or is God saying, you know what? It's time to break up camp. Move on. You've been here long enough. It's been good. It's been great. But this is not the end goal. And this is not the promised land. And this is not the best I have for you. So we're going to move forward. I'm going. Are you coming with me? And it's just this, kind of just this dance throughout life. We're going to find both of those moments through various times of our life. Well, how do we know which is which? I don't know. Talk to God. And that's the point. That's the point of this wilderness time of trying to figure out, like, well, do we stay here? Do we move? Well, yeah, the point is build this relationship, talk to him, and maybe pray a prayer like Moses. I'll read it again from Exodus 33, verse 13. It says, if I've really pleased you, then teach me your ways. I want to know you, and then I can continue to please you. May that be your prayer as you seek to follow God where he goes and to stay with God where he stays.
Our mission is to equip you to do your mission. We do that through experiences, resources, and coaching for those who are ready to act on their faith. We are ready to go all in on building the kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven, one yes at a time. Visit nextbestyes.com for more.